Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Getting ready for championship Saturday in college football. Man, we got a great show for you. Rich Ohrenberger joins us. He's a former offensive lineman, co-host of Fox College Football, Fox Football Saturday with Steve Hartman, 4 to 7 Eastern on Fox Sports Radio. Give you my picks upcoming. They've been awesome. Talk about Russell Wilson later on this hour. I get the press for you. We got a bunch of stuff still to get to. Rich, in regards to last night, Taysom Hill was playing fine, then he hurts his hand, and now all of a sudden he loses accuracy. They don't have their bookend tackles, don't have their running back who's a star, haven't had their best wide receiver all year long. Sean Payton's invested a lot in Taysom Hill, believes in Taysom Hill. Where are you on Taysom Hill being quarterback of the Saints?
I don't know if it's going to work out, and I think a lot of people felt similarly after that game last night. Look, Taysom Hill is a tremendous football player, and what I mean by that is he can be used in so many extraordinary ways on a football field. It's difficult even to sum it up in anything that would be an entertaining, you know, interview answer with you today. I mean, he really is like a tremendous football player in the special teams game, in the offensive game plan, and he does a lot of things that really benefit the Saints. But I don't know if one of those things is being a starting quarterback for the Saints. I really don't. And we have more burden of proof that's leading us down that path. And I look at Sean Payton a little bit differently on the other side of Drew Brees than I did prior to him moving on and retiring. I look at Sean Payton as a coach who, like any coach who's had a great quarterback, truly benefited from that time with Drew. And then on the other side of his retirement, really hasn't found many answers. I understand, like, he hasn't had a full season with any quarterback yet. Jameis Winston gets injured. We have the situation with Trevor Siemian and then now Taysom Hill. It's been a mixed bag for him, but I don't know. I see at best top of the second tier quarterback in Taysom Hill, and I mean that's really being pretty generous.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Cowboys had lost 3 out of 4. They get the win last night. What do you think about the Cowboys' ultimate upside?
You know, ultimately, the upside is extremely high. If the Cowboys can get healthy again, the Cowboys are a very dangerous team. And I'll say this, one of the things that truly helped them last night was getting their running game back going again. That's been something that's been missing. And I think they did a nice job with that, with both Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott. He's healthier than he's looked in weeks, Zeke Elliott. Tony Pollard, who, you know, isn't really trusted as much in pass protection, can't be on the field, you know, all 4 downs of offense or 3 downs of offense. So it's Zeke that they want in there for the majority of those snaps. And Pollard's a nice changeup back. He's never been a starting running back in this league, and that's fine because he's a really, really good secondary pitch to the fastball that is Zeke Elliott when he's healthy. But that's going to be the key for the Cowboys. Health at left tackle is supremely important. You can see the difference when Smith is on the field and when he isn't. And then health in the offensive backfield is also important because when their run game is going like it did last night in New Orleans, that's a very dangerous team. So assuming health, I think the Dallas Cowboys really need to be taken seriously as a big-time threat coming out of the NFC this year.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of a guy who he's talking about something he knows because he's actually done. Rich Ohrenberger joining us, former offensive lineman. Obviously, played with the Pats. And I like the game plan from the get-go. I don't think I knew the defense would be this good. Is the defense, like, Super Bowl caliber good? Like, the offense is good, it's fine, it's whatever. But in order to play this way, complementary football, conservative offensively, you got to have, and people have won, but they've always had a dynamic defense when they've won this way. Is that how good this defense is?
They absolutely are. You know, this is something that I've been telling a lot of people when we talk about the New England Patriots. Don't allow preseason narratives to confuse what you're seeing today. Like, if we were talking about the New Orleans Saints, right, you know, and maybe Jameis Winston was still healthy, would we have as much reticence? The answer would probably be no, because for whatever reason, I think Tom Brady just commands a much greater shadow over his former team than Drew Brees did over the Saints. You know, and I'm saying same identical record and everything. The thing is, after 20 years of dominance, I think there were a lot of people who are tired of it, frankly, and we're okay with the Patriots being put in their place a little bit, suffering like the rest of the NFL, trying to figure out the quarterback position, and did an awful job of it last year, trying to bring in Cam Newton on the cheap and get better fast. It wasn't going to work, but they got lucky in the draft because Mac Jones, who's a very capable and competent quarterback, fell to them at 15, and he's been developing behind, to your point, a Super Bowl caliber defense. I mean, that's a defense right now that's in second in the league, tied for second in takeaways with 25. They make so many clutch plays, and that includes turnovers on down, goal line stands, those interceptions and fumble recoveries that are so important to success. They're careful with the football offensively, too. They're plus 10 in the turnover differential category because Mac Jones doesn't make a lot of mistakes that classically we see rookie quarterbacks make. So it's going to be a team carried by the defense, and that defense is elite. Mind you, they get a lot of players back from last year who sat out due to COVID nerves. You know, everybody had an opportunity. They lost about a dozen players who sat out this season instead of playing. A lot of them rejoined on the defensive side. So they're better there than they were a year ago for those reasons. And I think the additions of Hunter Henry, especially offensively, and Jonnu Smith, when that all really comes together and gels toward the end of this season, this could be a very dangerous team that could potentially win a Super Bowl.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, what about the Steelers? Like, is it as simple as replacing Ben Roethlisberger, or is there more that needs to change?
Well, I think one of the things that the Steelers had in place for a long time that many respected was culture. You know, Mike Tomlin has done such a good job. Like other head coaches around the league who've had success over their entire tenure, you know, and I'm pointing out Pete Carroll and recently Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, sure, throw him in the pile, Andy Reid. You know, Mike Tomlin, I speak of him in the same light because he's really done a great job building a strong culture. Big Ben has been a part of that, obviously, for his entire tenure. It is time to move on from Big Ben, but I wouldn't say that's the symptom of all their problems. I would say part of it is losing track of that culture. His team seems a little bit distracted, and it's unfortunate. You know, I look at some of the viral videos on social media that come out of the Steelers locker room, and I laugh to myself thinking, like, how is this a Mike Tomlin team? You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, sometimes we read too deeply into that, but Mike Tomlin has been speaking critically about that openly recently, so I think he's feeling it too.
It's Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, it's a weird thing when it suddenly kind of gets away from you. And I think people thought, hey, we get rid of Antonio Brown and that's it, problem solved. Like, you know, it's bigger problems than just one guy. Help me out with the Rams. And you know, Troy Aikman's like, hey, all-star teams don't work. Yeah, but Tampa was like an all-star team last year. Like, they brought in stars from elsewhere. Maybe it's because of Brady, but why aren't the Rams working as of now?
Well, it's funny you mentioned Brady because that's the comparison I'll draw. If you're going to bring in certain players into a system, you want to talk about building culture. I mean, having Tom Brady walk through the doors gives you instant credibility in terms of building a new culture. And that's what Bruce Arians needed to do in a hurry a year ago, and he got it done with arguably the greatest football player of all time. That isn't Matthew Stafford. And that's no offense to Matthew Stafford. Nobody's Tom Brady, right? You know, it's like comparing a young quarterback before there was a Tom Brady to Joe Montana. you know, like, or any quarterback. Like, it doesn't matter how long or short you played. It's just not a fair comparison. But Sean McVay, I think, is a good head coach. And I think this could work. I think, again, some of their problems are similar to the problems that the Dallas Cowboys have. They're relying way too much on their quarterback right now because teams are finding ways to stop the run. You know, when Zeke was unhealthy and the Cowboys weren't running the football and so much of the offense had to go through Dak Prescott, they were losing football games. And that's been the problem week after week after week with the Rams. The last three losses, really, if you look at their run game, that's the whole problem. They were held under, I want to say, 70 yards in the past two outings, held under 100 yards in that Titans loss. This team hasn't tasted victory for over a month because they're getting away from what their offensive identity is, which is we're going to attack the line of scrimmage, and then we're going to throw play action. And no offense to Matthew Stafford, but that's the type of quarterback he is. Is he a Drew Brees? No. You know, I mean, is he even really a Phillip Rivers? No. You know, is he a play-action quarterback who can make the big throws all over the field if he's well-protected and he has time? Absolutely. If he's supported by a great run game, absolutely. And that's what they were doing earlier this season. They need to get back to that in a hurry.
Okay, let me ask you about the Niners. In the same division, I'm bullish on the Niners, and I actually think Jimmy Garoppolo has played really, really good football since he's come back from injury. Where are you watching the San Francisco 49ers?
Oh, man, I love the way they're playing offensive football and defensively. They're really starting to pick up where they left off a season ago, or I should say two seasons ago now. I mean, it's a defense nobody wants to see. They're just an aggressive ball group. Like, if you want to see line of scrimmage ferocity, turn on a 49ers game. I mean, there's no fair dodging out there. Those guys get after the offensive linemen they're facing, and they try to put a pounding on quarterbacks. So that's fun to watch. But the offense is getting they're getting a new life with the use of Deebo Samuels, who's injured. And so they have to do some things with Brandon Ayuk. He may not be used to, and highlight him a little bit more, but he's had a better season this year. I look at the offense, and I think to myself, Jimmy Garoppolo is finally playing like the Jimmy Garoppolo 2 years ago, where he's managing the game. He's not overextending himself. He's trusting the protection. He's making good decisions. If he doesn't get hurt, frankly, first and foremost, and he doesn't hurt them with turnovers, the way that defense is playing, and the way that they're using some creativity, Kyle Shanahan, in the run game especially, like using gadgets out of the backfield, wide receivers in the run game, I think this is a team to watch in the NFC. That I was talking about them 2 weeks ago as being a dark horse. I think they're going to really start making a push for serious playoff implications here soon.
I'm with you. Rich Hornberger joined us, former offensive lineman, okay, co-host of Fox Sports Sunday, 1 to 5 Eastern Time with Steve Hartman. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Help me out with the Chargers. I know they have issues in their offensive line. Is that what's happened to this offense?
Yeah, that's some of it. No, that absolutely is some of it. They look very different on third down. I like their offense overall, right? I love the pieces. I think Austin Eckler is unbelievable and super underrated. I feel the same way about Keenan Allen, their running back and their star wide receiver, respectively. I like the way they were using Mike Williams, the first-round pick, who they're finally starting to figure out how to use earlier this season, not as much late. I think the problems are really up front and also the drops. Like on critical third-down receptions, a lot of these receivers are letting balls bounce out of their hands to the ground. I'm talking out of their hands. And that's something you can't have. Great teams make those plays. And so the Chargers have to make up their mind, especially those skill position players have to make up their mind. Do we want to be great? If we are, we're going to have to convert third down, especially when you're wide open, especially when Justin Herbert paints you with the football. But that offensive line has been a problem for years now. Outside of 2 years since the 2013 season, and it was the 2013 season, I want to say the 2018 season, they haven't had help on the offensive line. So their general manager, Tom Telesco, he's done a pretty terrible job drafting on the offensive line up until Rashawn Slater was taken in this year's draft, who might be an all-pro player this year. So he got that right. There's no question about it. But his other solution for offensive line is bringing in aging veterans these older veterans to come on the offensive line. And while they're competent, they're often injured. And that's exactly what's happened with Brian Bulaga this season. It's what happened with Pouncey a year ago. It's just a continuing thread for this front office. They need to get younger and more talented on the offensive line. They need to reestablish their identity in that way, you know, invest in the draft. But in terms of this season, it really comes down to third down. They need to focus on that down. And if they do, this is a team that they can really get some things done. Defensively, though, Doug, you've watched these games, I'm sure. They can't stop the run.
Can't stop the run.
And that's going to haunt them in the postseason.
No question about it. Rich, you're so right. Great stuff, buddy. Can't wait to hear you Sunday with Steve Hartman, who, of course, is probably not going to be happy that USC seems to have figured out how to get a coach that's going to build a fence around Southern California, right? He's Hartman, the UCLA homer. But nonetheless, that'll be fun. I'm sure you'll tweak him, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Doug.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to get you caught up on my picks. That's what we want to do. We
want
to get
you my winners.
We do.
We got them. Five NFL, five college.
Five on three. One, two, three.
Five. It's 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, Five.
College football. It's Championship Saturday. Championship Saturday. Okay, let's start with tonight's game. Utah taking on Oregon. We talked about this, the nemesis game. Oregon's been the nemesis. The problem is that Utah kicked the crap out of Oregon, granted at home in the altitude just 2 weeks ago. Okay, and this is the Pac-12 title game. It's in Las Vegas. So, supposed to be a neutral site. Now you got Oregon, who, you know, survived Oregon State, dominated by Utah. That is one of their two losses on the year. The two teams they've lost to, power running teams, Stanford before massive injuries, and Utah. I think Utah wins and covers this thing. Do I think it's a no-doubter? No, but they'll win by more than the field goal. I don't think what we saw 2 weeks ago has changed that much. They're going to line up. They're going to run it right at him. Additionally, I do think the distractions of Mario Cristobal being mentioned as the potential Miami coach, they're not good when you're trying to focus. I'm going to take Utah to win the game and cover. Oklahoma State taking on Baylor. These two teams met, feels like a year ago, right? It was the 2nd of October. And it was a low-scoring game. Baylor only had 280 yards. It was really dominated by the Cowboys' defense. And then offensively, Jalen Warren transfer, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tay Martin had just come back. He had 7 catches, 108 yards. I thought Spencer Sanders was really good. He ran, he threw in that game. I do think Oklahoma State's offense and Baylor's offense, they've gotten better since then. So I don't think it's a complete locked up cinch that Oklahoma State wins the game, but you know, they're 10 points better 2 months ago. I think a touchdown's about right. It's a 6-point line. This is a hard one. I'm going to take Oklahoma State. Alabama taking on Georgia. We've heard so much about, again, the nemesis of Alabama to Georgia. We also have this thing where we're like, well, you know, Alabama's played close games. Georgia hasn't. And they played one close game all year. That was Clemson's first game of the year. Outside of that, it's been complete and utter domination. I think this will be as well. I'll take Georgia. I'll take the number. Houston's taking on Cincinnati. Houston lost the first game of the year to Texas Tech. Okay. Since then, they survived East Carolina in overtime. They survived South Florida 54-42. SMU by a touchdown. Whereas Cincinnati feels like the real deal. The real deal. That said, 10.5 points in a championship game. I'm going to take Houston. Iowa's taking on Michigan. Iowa at home has been outstanding. Iowa's won their last four games. Northwestern, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska. Close games. Michigan just got done kicking the crap out of Ohio State. 42-27. But let's remember, Penn State kept it close. Michigan State beat them. Nebraska kept it close. Rutgers kept it close. There is a formula there. And I think I will work out that formula. I think Michigan wins and Iowa covers. Those are the college picks. Let's get to the NFL picks, shall we? Houston's taken on Indy, and Houston's now won two games. But more than anything, they played the Jets close. They beat the Titans. Kept the Dolphins within arm's distance. Previous to that, it was like blowout city with the exception of the Patriots. So they do kind of play up to level of competition. The Colts got to win this game, right? They had won three in a row, and frankly, they had the Buccaneers game. I think the Colts are probably the best 6-6 team in the league. I think they win. I think they dominate. I think they cover the 10 points. This one's interesting to me. The Giants are taking on Miami. Miami has looked better of late, or Tua has looked better of late, as they've won their last four games. And not terrible teams. Texans, Ravens, Jets, Panthers, although the Panthers, terrible quarterback play. Jets, uneven. Ravens, that's a good win. Texans are terrible. They're taking on the Giants. And like, look, Danny Dimes wasn't good against the Buccaneers. Could have beaten the Chiefs. But they just beat the Eagles. I think the Giants keep this thing close. I really do. Battle of former assistant coaches to Bill Belichick. I'm going to take the Giants to cover the six. Cincinnati's taking on the Chargers. You guys know I'm a huge Charger fan. I'm also a realist. And how to beat the Chargers? Run the football. What do the Bengals do? Well, they got Joe Mixon, who runs the football. He's about to go for 1,000 yards, likely this week at 924, 4.4 yards a carry. Samaje Perine, another Oklahoma product, over 4 yards a carry. Meanwhile, you got Justin Herbert, who has been good, but they've been unable to protect him, throw the ball downfield, and that's a good pass rush. I think the Bengals win, and the Bengals cover. Okay, this one's interesting to me. Seattle taking on San Francisco. Seattle is only a 3.5-point dog. This is the pick of the week. San Francisco's won three in a row. San Francisco will win that game. They will cover the spread. They are the road dog. Doesn't matter. I feel like Seattle is done. Last pick of the weekend. Baltimore's taking on Pittsburgh. Okay, it's a Baltimore team. We've pointed out time and again on how poorly they've played, and yet they've won games. This is their first matchup against Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, of course, has a quarterback who's led them to a tie with the Lions, a loss to the Chargers, a loss to the Bengals. I think they're bad. I'm going to take the Ravens as favorites. Those are the picks.
5-on-3. 1, 2, 3.
There it is. 5 NFL.
Let's go, 5.
5 college. 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
There's a lot to get to. Did you guys hear? Russell Wilson is, he's obviously a very talented fella, a very bright fella. I do think a lot of the things he says are kind of cheesy, right? It's like he was cracking dad jokes before dad jokes were in, and oh yeah, before he was a dad. He is, of course, a dad now. He talked about himself in this way yesterday.
My resume, you know, shows that I'm an overcomer and I'm going to keep being one. And so, I have no doubt. I have a tremendous confidence in who I am, where I am, what I'm going to be, how I'm going to be, how I'm going to get better every day about my craft.
I'm an overcomer. In case you didn't catch that part that his resume shows you, he doubled down, then tripled down. Take a listen.
To be able to stay poised in the midst of it all and be thankful for it all. And I think that's one of the things that I really believe is has always been a goal for me is and always been part of my perspective of life. The one thing that I do know is that my resume shows that I'm an overcomer. My resume shows that I'm an overcomer. So, you know, the reality is that for me, you know, I know what's going to happen.
So he's, I don't know, he just strikes me as so bizarre. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. Overcomer is a word. Why not use overachiever? I'm not really, I don't get it. Buyer, help me out. You're a Seahawks fan. What do you think of Russell?
I think he'd be the guy you'd least want to be stuck with talking to at a party just because of everything that he would continue to say. Like, oh, yeah, sure. All right. Yeah. Like there's nothing that you have in common because you don't view life like that through a normal lens. And it's just very difficult to relate. Plus, he's talking about himself, which, of course, you wouldn't care about. Yeah, just it's quite a bit. It's quite a bit.
It's a lot, right?
Yes.
It's just a lot. And why is it a lot? I don't know. It's like, I guess because it's always kind of work for him. But man, he's a lot. That's probably the best way to express it that everybody kind of agrees on.
Yeah, and I don't know a ton from what happened, at NC State for how he was portrayed there. We know about the baseball thing and then Mike Glennon taking over. However, I would almost feel like if he had this sort of presence that maybe it would have like been different. I just think like there was at some point along the line when he was an NFL quarterback that somebody told him this is how you should be. Because I don't think it was like this in college, and I don't think that it was like this in his first couple of years in Seattle, but I think somebody in his ear said, this is how it's, you know, this is how we're going to craft you. This is how we're going to market you. And I think that's where it's just taken off. It's one thing to always be like, go Hawks. And now it's just so contrived.
It's so cheesy. It really is. It's just so incredibly cheesy that, I don't know, it's just, everyone in the league I know rolls their eyes about it. Now, they all say, like, look, the dude can play. It's not like he can't play, but it is to the point where you're like, ugh, God, he's a lot. You know, and everybody has a friend who's a lot. He's like the NFL version of the CrossFit guy. Or now Bitcoin guy is the same thing. You know, on Bitcoin? Why didn't you get in on Bitcoin? Why don't you believe about Bitcoin? Like, look, I don't know anything. What about NFTs? NFTs are big. Like, I don't really know what those are. Like, I kind of know, but I don't really know. It just feels like a way in which somebody who really knows is going to take my money. That's Russell Wilson. It's like he's CrossFit guy.
I would also, yeah, hate to talk to CrossFit guy or Bitcoin guy at a party as well. Like, there's a little too much. It's just... We're not the same. It's just so difficult to relate, as you said. And what I find interesting about it is I believe that the advice that he has gotten or now what he believes is this is how you do relate.
It's not. I agree with you. I think we both think it's not. He just sounds like a guy who's like a wind up doll of not necessarily cliches, but like motivational sayings, you know?
Yes. And then you're also wondering, like, is it this extreme because something's, you're hiding something or you're overcompensating for something? What is the real deal?
No idea. No idea. Yes, Jason Stewart.
I had not thought about this until Dan just kind of gave his description there. And now I'm thinking he's just like Tom Cruise. Like, I don't think he thinks he's of this world. Like, he's on some kind of a different... paradigm or something. Like when you hear him talk, it's almost robotic in a way. And then when you hear Tom Cruise talk in a normal interview, you get that feeling too. Like, is this guy real? Like, what's going on with this guy?
I think the Tom Cruise analogy is perfect. I think that's absolutely dead to rights accurate. Tom Cruise is who he is. Really good call. Really, really good call. Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. I don't think it stops him necessarily from leading a football team, but it just makes it so he's just odd. It's just odd. That's the only way I can express it.
I mean, I give him, you know, credit for trying to come back as soon as he did.
Yes.
Like, he's not milking any of that stuff. He's milking his return and talking about his return, but he's not, like, you know, taking shortcuts to be out longer or trying to drag that out. Like, he tried to be back as soon as possible, but in the same breath, let everyone know how much it took for him to come back as soon as possible.
No, it's I'm sorry, like, this is going to come across super mean. It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's obnoxious. And I say that admitting he's a great football player. Like, he's great. He throws as good a deep ball as you ever get. Like, he's awesome. I have nothing bad to say about him as a football player. He just, it's too much for me. Like, I'm good. I got it. Thank you so much. I got it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
That old time hack team. Oh, Frosty the Snowman. Hey, can laugh and play. Ah-ha! Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Okay, let's switch it up a little bit. Let's play a game. Or let's go to the press. Whatever. Life is a highway. I'm going to ride it all night long. If you're going my way, right? Just moving on. Yeah, move on. It's good. Move on. Well, Rascal Flatts, I know that from because Darius Rucker's a good friend of mine, and that was their encore song. And he was like, guys, can we sing something else? Like, my voice doesn't work for that. They're like, yeah, that's our signature song. We're going with it. I think Oklahoma State Baylor does. I think Oklahoma State Baylor does. Because do I think that Baylor gets in if they win? And, you know, like, then there's Notre Dame sitting out there with one loss. And no, but why shouldn't they? If they would have beaten Oklahoma and beaten Oklahoma State and not lost any other games in their schedule, like, why not? Why not? I thought it was... Slightly. Because what it basically says is like, look, same coordinators, no head coach. That only affects us in recruiting and in speeches and whatever. We're the same football team. So to that aspect of it, I'd say they should, yes. I think he will. I do. I think he should? Probably not, but I definitely think he will. No effect. No effect. Yeah, I mean, look, Dan Quinn did a good job until he didn't do a good job in Atlanta, right? One game, I don't think a coaching change warrants or makes or matters in any way. I think Dan Quinn's done a nice job. I'm not trying to diminish any of that, but the reality of it is, I don't think one game changes all that much. next year at all next year. No. No, I see him continue to hit balls and to maybe, you know, do something at events, but I don't see him playing in a tournament. Agree with you. Totally agree with you. Yeah. Well, you know, Danny Manning, who's one of Terj's close friends, both Kansas alums, you know, both great players. And Terj, of course, I believe was a coach on that team that won a national championship with Danny Manning. I was like a grad assistant. They're just not that good this year. Will they go up? Yeah, they'll be better. I don't get this move. I know they had a disappointing start. 2 years ago, they were Big Ten regular season champions and the Big Ten tournament was canceled. And so we'll never know how good that team would have been. You know, I know they weren't in love with Terj. I just think this sucks. Like, we're not even a Christmas. What are we doing, firing college basketball coaches? You know, unless there's something illicit I don't know about, which he's not fired for cause. They're going to pay him $5 million to walk away. This is just, we're tired of him and he's tired of us and we're going to part ways with him. But this early, but I think that we're, like, Danny's a good coach. Getting players at Wake Forest was hard, and keeping them was hard. They'll do fine. They'll do better than where they are right now. I don't think so. I really do not. I don't. That's as bad an ass whooping as I can remember. They were so bad. It's not like they were pressing. They're just terrible. And what's funny is they've actually beaten. I mean, they beat the Lakers a couple times, right? This is who everybody thought they were coming into the year. Now they play Drake. They actually played Drake. Drake played. Don't care. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here, huh? Good stuff. All right. Well, listen, have a safe and happy weekend. This is a interesting weekend. My alma mater, Oklahoma State, has a chance to win another Big 12 title. Last time they did so was 10 years ago, right? And if they win, I think they're going to probably play for a national championship, which is bizarre. But it's bizarre because they built on defense, not on offense. And it's in a year in which they beat Oklahoma and Oklahoma lost their head coach. Listeners, I want you guys to work on your fake accents over the weekend because that's what it sounds like when you try and use accents that you're not good at. That's what we all sound like. Like, ee. And you're getting ready to see family and friends and trying to assimilate to somebody and trying to make them feel at home. You just make yourself look like a dork. That's really what it is. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show. Have a happy weekend. It's Fox Sports Radio.